What's up, everybody, and welcome to Coming Up Next. My name is Brad Gilmore, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as The Boat. That's right, hashtag best of all time, and I'm joined by the socially distanced Miss Jennifer Sturger. Jen, how you doing?
I've had better days, okay, dude? Like, I'm just happy to be here and lucky to be here. I've got this weird thing. I was telling you guys before the show started, we're going to have to, like, not go overtime on the show today because I've got, like, this thing going on with my mouth that is physically killing me. So I'm literally leaving our show and going and probably having oral surgery. Surgery! I did not leave out the last part of that phrase, Brad.
I'm just making sure. It didn't seem like it was all there for a second.
You're like,
Well, yeah, what? This is a kid's show, Jen. Come on now.
Sure.
we're going to have a slightly abbreviated show, but we're still going to bring you a bunch of action. And I'm living up to my end of the bargain. Since Jen has a doctor's appointment, I do have my surgical gloves. I do have a chip ready.
Why do you need surgical gloves to do this?
Because I messed up last time and I touched my face after handling the glove. After handling the chip.
Your face?
Yeah, I went like this. Oh, well. What is wrong with you? Yeah, my face. That's what I said. So I'm going to be very extra careful this time and allow for any mishaps or mistakes to occur or not allow for them. Anyway, we got to get right into it, guys. We got to get right into it. Let's start with our rapid fire segment. We're going to have three questions. Jen or I will take a stance on it. We might agree, we might disagree, but we will get into it. So let's do it right now. Rapid fire this week, Jen. The first question that we have for the fans or for one another is what actor or director should have their own slice on the wheel?
Well, I think there's really only one answer to this. And we were trying to find out whether or not there were rumblings that this was happening. We're trying to figure out whether or not it had actually occurred. And I think PLD is still working on that as we speak. But regardless, the answer to this question is only one person, and that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Think about it. How many great... Okay, there is a Dwayne Johnson. Well, screw it. Thanks, PLD. You were really on the trigger on that one.
But no one's pulled it yet, have they?
I haven't seen it played, but maybe I'm wrong. But I still think that this is long overdue. I feel like he's got... The thing with slices is the person has to have a long enough filmography and a diverse enough filmography to, like, trip people up. You know what I mean? And so there's not a lot of actors out there that I feel like we haven't covered that fit that mold. Do you know what I mean? And so when I look at The Rock and I feel like all of the movies that he's done... That would just be such a fun category. I feel like it'd be one of those no-miss categories for someone like, say, a Josh McCuga or anyone that's a wrestling fan, like yourself, Brad. I feel like you would do really well in that category.
Overall, I would feel good about my Dwayne The Rock Johnson category. I even know that the first words he ever spoke on screen was Aku Machente. Look at that. 2001, Mummy Returns, and you had Scorpion King, Rundown, Walking Tall, Be Cool, Doom, Gridiron Gang, Game Plan, Get Smart. I mean, I've seen most of these films. This would be a really good one because when Rock gets into this last decade, he starts off with Fast Five, G.I. Joe, Retaliation, Pain and Gain, Fast 6, Hercules.
Pain and Gain, oh.
Pain and Gain's a nutty movie.
It's so weird. Oh, but you know what? You need those kind of movies that are just kind of movies that you'd say, oh, I really don't want to see that, or do I have to watch that? Like, it's a guilty watch. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that in his category as well. Because they aren't necessarily great movies, but look, it's not about the best movie schmodown. It's have you seen all the movies that are out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, by the way, we did figure out that there is, that the Rock slice was official and it was pulled by Perry Nemiroff in her match against Mark Riley. I do remember that now that it's brought up to me. But it hasn't been seen enough yet. And I think that we can get some good run out of a Dwayne The Rock Johnson category. I'm going to go directors on this one. And I think this is probably going to be a super transparent one, but I have a really good argument to back it up. And I am going to go with a Robert Zemeckis wheel slice. And here's the reason. Not only do you have the three Back to the Futures, of course, but you got to think about the other movies that he has done that we can get some really great questions from. I Want to Hold Your Hand, Used Cars, Romancing the Stone, the three Back to the Future films, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Death Becomes Her, Forrest Gump, What Lies Beneath, Castaway, Polar Express, Beowulf, Flight, all the way up into 2020 where you have The Witches, you had Welcome to Marwen in 2018. He's got a lot of movies that you could pull from. And I think that a Robert Zemeckis slice would really be great. And I also see in the chat, people are saying a Sean Connery wheel slice would be great as well.
That would be great.
I like that one. The late, great Sean Connery, we talked a little bit about last week. Not only did he have all the James Bond films, but also you have movies like Rising Sun that I just saw, The Rock, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What was the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah, we can forget that one.
Is it Catherine Zeta-Jones one?
No. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I have a soft spot in my heart for it. You know, did you ever do Columbia House stuff?
I think I have a bad stuff in my heart for that one because I was on a terrible date when I saw that movie.
Oh, well, then I can't help you. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I have a soft spot for all things Sean Connery. So that is interesting. What do y'all want to see on the wheel slice? Make sure that you leave us a comment below and let us move into our next. Let's move into our next rapid fire segment, which is what is the greatest throwdown event of 2020? We've had many live events this year, Jen. We're going to have another live one coming up this Friday, headlined by the Wild Berries in a retirement match. What do you think has been the greatest throwdown event of this year thus far?
When I think of all the pay-per-view type shows that we've had, I always come back to the same one, and that is Corruption Founding Fathers. I feel like no matter what match no matter what pay-per-view that takes place on, that's always going to be one of those must-see matches because no matter where the teams are in the standings, no matter what may be going on for them in singles or other divisions, it's like those teams always show up to play. They truly do. And this past one, I feel like was one of their most haymaker matches yet. And I just want more. I just want more of those two teams. Like I would see them in an Iron Man match. I just feel like, I mean, and granted, I feel like there would be an advantage to the Founding Fathers in that, but I never want to count out Chance Ellison. And this is coming from me, someone who was really hard on Chance Ellison when he came into the league. And now I feel like he's become one of the more dominant forces there.
I think that's a good one. I think that is a really good one. I'm going to go with a member of the Founding Fathers for mine. Not only was it the greatest match that we had seen earlier in a live event in Atlanta, the rematch was just as epic, and that is Ben Bateman versus Dan Merle for the Movie Trivia Showdown Singles Championship. The fact that it went the way that it did, and Ben the Boss Bateman fumbles the football inside the 10-yard line when it looked like he was going to beat the greatest of all time and recapture that championship off a Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift question, which I believe the guy's name was Lucas Black, but I've already forgotten his name. Look at that.
Exactly. Yeah,
I've already forgotten his name. But I think it's Lucas Black. But the point is, that one was such a riveting back-and-forth battle, and it looked same, like it almost played out identical to how it did in Atlanta. Except Ben was the champion in Atlanta. Dan was defending here, but Dan had to come from behind in the final round and go out there and win it. And Atlanta went into overtime. This time, Dan Merle was able to get the job done. And I don't think that there might not have been a better throwdown ever. I think that the first one was...
Does that say something, though, when you look at the people that are the ones we're picking, honestly, in terms of best throwdowns? There's always the same kind of characters in play. There's the Mike Kalinowskis. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's the Dan Merles. There's mm-hmm. the Ben Batemans, you know. That just goes to show you that these guys are riveting to watch. It truly does. Like, especially how stacked those two teams are.
Yeah, what do you think, PLD?
My favorite has got to have been the Shazam winning the titles. That's got to be the one because that was one of the greatest matches I've seen all year. And that was the one that really made it such an emotional moment seeing Shazam finally get there after all these years. So after all this like time, they were really shooting for it. That was my favorite one, definitely.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to choose from. I still think maybe the greatest of all time was that first one with Mike Kalinowski and Rachel Cushing.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Mike almost came back from an 8-point deficit to win that. And that was so awesome. It was pulled off live. It was in studio. The camera cuts were on there. RB3 and the team were working their behinds off. They got the job done. It was really an awesome sight to see. What do you think, though? I want to go back to everybody. What do y'all think should be on the wheel? Why don't you super chat that in? Or you can go streamlabs.com/theschmodown. $20 or more, you can interrupt the show and say whatever you want to Jen Sturger or I. I'm sure you have some things in your mind. Say whatever it is that you want. We are living up to our end of the bargain. At least I'm going to hold it down for the team again. with one of these things, and I'm not looking forward to it whatsoever. But we will try to hit a goal.
I still think I'm going to have the worst afternoon. Like, you're going to eat that chip. I have no idea. Like, I'm probably having oral surgery after this. I'm like, my face hurts so bad. And you guys keep making me smile and laugh. So I'm like, it's just getting worse.
Yeah, well,
sorry, you're so entertaining.
Don't think this is going to get you off the hook, though. You're still going to have to do this by yourself now next week.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Let's get to our last rapid fire because we're going to be short on time today. Current pro, who is the current pro making the best manager this year, Miss Jennifer Sturgeon?
Hmm.
Oh, or you know what? Before you answer, I want Paul DeNuzio to open this one up. I like hearing Paul's opinion sometimes, and I want you to open this one up in rapid fire.
Only sometimes? Come on now, Brad. I mean, I have to say it's got to be Ben Bateman. I mean, the guy has a mind like on his game like no other. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He has strategies for strategies. The only thing he'd have to work with is maybe his personality in terms of working with people. I know he only strokes some people the wrong way. But as far as in-game strategy, as far as knowledge base going, there's not much you can do that's better than that. As far as promos go, he's got a mouth like no other as well, so he could just, you know, throw those jabs in there when necessary, get that intimidation factor going. I think he's got the whole package, so I think Bateman's going to make a great manager one day.
What do you think, Rachel? I mean, what do you think? I'm thinking about who I'm wanting to be a manager. What do you
think? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I want Rachel Cushing to manage an entire team. That's what I want. I know she's not a current pro. She's retired. But I do want Rachel Cushing. She's been a pseudo manager along with her better or her less better half from the usual suspects. And I don't mean that as a dig. We all know that, you know, behind every good man, right? But I think that Rachel Cushing would be an incredible manager because she has gone through the whole metamorphosis of having to learn how to play under the lights, being comfortable on camera, learning how to do promos, and then coming up with the strategy of the game. How can you best prepare? How can you get into that championship mindset in a live event, in a throwdown, in studio, digitally, whatever it is going to be? I think Rachel Cushing would be the eventual manager of the year if she chooses to go that route eventually.
Those are both really good suggestions, but let me tell you why you're wrong. Okay. Actually, you know, I thought about this and I was like, who's someone that I feel like contributes to the game, but isn't necessarily the strongest trivia player? And that happens to be, I feel like you all know where I'm going with this. That's Andrew Guy. I feel like Andrew Guy is one of those people that is such a huge part of the league and its identity, but isn't necessarily, he doesn't always do the best in trivia performance. And I feel like those are the type of people that turn out to make really good managers. Like, look at how well Winston and Coy are doing. They're always entertaining. They understood the strategy. They may just not have the depth of knowledge that some of their players do. And that's what makes them good managers, because it's not about them bringing the knowledge to the table. It's about helping their players recognize strategy, recognize how to get into the other person's head and how to play against their opponents and just help them navigate the game. And that's why when I look at this, hands down, I think Andrew Guy will make a phenomenal manager someday. And I feel like the longer we can keep him in the league, we're a better place for it.
Yeah, Andrew Guy, Ben Bateman, these are all great picks. They are all great picks. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. Or perhaps our upcoming guest would be an interesting one. We might have to talk to him about that. And speaking of that, we have a love it or leave it this week before we go to our first break. Oh, you know what? Actually, let's take that break and let's bring on our guest. I'd like to talk about our love it or leave it with him anyway. And he's going to be an interesting person to talk to as always. That is the Android, Mark Andreyko, up next. I'm coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Think that maybe this league is only big enough for one of us. A 1v1 Wildberries retirement match.
Nobody's retiring. It's on.
Right.
presenting the Wildberries. He is Elliot the Mountain. Representing the Wildberry, he is the 2014 finalist.
And Roxy Stryer's out with
the Wildberry.
Oh my God! No!
Hugo!
Oh no!
Makes sense. Makes sense. He's doing a cake stand.
That's not how you do that.
No, you make sense. That's exactly what he did. That's Florida State, Jim. That's. Oh man, there he is. Welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back to Coming Up Next. We said we had a special guest joining us, and a special guest he is the android Mark Andreyko, who just fresh off, spoiler alert for everybody, because it just happened, a victory against Category 9. They're moving on in the teams tournament. And Mark, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. This is your first time here.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see you guys. I can't wait to see you all in the flesh again someday, and that now seems like it's a possibility. It's a new dawn.
I know, right? Were you out celebrating the other day?
On Saturday, after it was finally, you know, done, I ended up buying like $300 worth of Criterion Blu-rays because they were on sale, and I needed I felt like for 4 years after breaking up with an abusive partner of 4.5 years, I treated myself, and they're all arriving, and I don't remember which ones I ordered, so it's sort of like Christmas every day this week. So
yes, Mark Andreyko, for those not following at home, did just get his divorce finalized that he had been waiting on, right?
Yep.
So congratulations.
Send that abusive bitch back to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is that too harsh of a word for this show?
We don't know exactly where the line is.
No cursing, okay. Please.
The profanity.
Doo-doo head. How's that?
There we go. Okay. Well, why don't we talk about something that you said on backstage earlier. Was it this week or?
Oh, I think we had a Schmobot come in. Yeah, let me see. Wow. Yeah, let's play that.
Go ahead. But while RB3 is getting to that, you said something that was, I thought, it kind of struck me this earlier this week. You said that you're done with singles altogether. You're only going to be a team player?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just become I enjoy, you know, I've said this in numerous interviews, but my degree is in theater. I like ensemble. I like collaboration. And the amount of laser focus sort of research now that's going in, especially in singles, I like being the guy that knows a lot about movies at the party. I don't like being the guy that's like, well, technically frame 1622 was off by one. That's not slamming the people that are doing that, but it's become so much more about, like, since the dawn of Kevin Smets, and that's just not who I am. I think I'm a better player. I think I know more when I'm playing in teams, because by having someone there you trust, it frees up your own. And there's one other thing. One of the matches I lost to Bibiani, I missed my five pointer, and he got his by saying Anchorman 2. And I should have challenged him because the title is Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. Mm. And when you're up there by yourself, you don't have time. I don't care if you're the master strategist like Bateman. When you're doing that, there's so much else going on that you don't have time to go, oh, I should challenge that. And these were back in the days before the managers got really, really, really active in things. So I don't enjoy singles as much as I enjoy playing with teams. That's not a slam to singles. And maybe my attitude will change in a year, but definitely for the upcoming
Jake
season.
Jake underscore Iacoffetta donated $20. I miss Brad Sicker. I need the hair flip back in my life. What up, Mark?
Oh, I haven't been able to flip my hair since 1991. So
last week, Mark, Brad had to make good on his bet that he lost to me about the World Series. Well, in fact, technically it was about the championship series, but Brad had to dress as Jessica. So he had to wear a long wig and he was really getting into it. He was flipping his hair a lot. He seemed to really be, he was really kind of feeling himself the whole show. You could tell.
I think you'd probably make a pretty decent girl.
Yeah, I think if I would have shaved and, you know, gone full makeup, I think I could have. Yeah. I think I could have been a lot prettier.
Your eyes are like tepid pools of water, so you defy gender, Brad.
I think that's a compliment. I'm sure it is. I appreciate that coming from the android.
But you know, you were breaking down strategy for us really well right there, Mark, and it just lends to what we were just discussing last segment, and that is people that are current pros that would make good managers. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me like you really have a knack for understanding the strategy and knowing what to challenge, what not to challenge. And I feel like someday would you be interested ever in making the switch to manager? Or like maybe even a player manager where it was like, you know, if you're up there and it's, and you know, you're not playing in teams, possibly you could be coaching the singles on your team maybe.
I would love to coach new players and I would love to someday be a manager. I think, you know, barring it, and this sounds so Hollywood douchey, but I have a bunch of things going on that might not affect next season, might affect next season. And if I'm too busy to commit to being a player, I think I would instantly say, well, let me be like an assistant manager. Let me manage when my schedule allows. Because also, too, if you can't focus on playing, you shouldn't be playing. You should step out because it has become – I mean, look at the matches these days. There are very rarely blowouts anymore. They're usually, unless it's really bad luck in the wheel, it's always really close games. We're not doing the Super Bowl where it's 42-0 in the first quarter and then that's the game. These games are coming down to the wire, and the base level of abilities of the players in the league went from this to this. Just being in this league, you're really, really, really good. There's no one currently playing that I think that I would be like, oh, That's a walk in the park. And that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think, though, that everything that you've been able to do, I mean, you've knocked on the door to the singles championship. Obviously, you've held the team's championships before. You would make a good attribute as a player coach or a coach altogether. But here's my question. In Love It or Leave It, we were going to talk about this, and I feel like it's better to talk about it with you since it was going to involve you. Love It or Leave It is essentially like a buy or sell on this show. And we were going to discuss if the Odd Couple should or should not be a team come next season. I know that y'all have both thrown this out there and kind of flirted with the idea of finding maybe a new partner. But now, coming off of a win against Category 9, do you think right now, Mark Andreyko, next season, Odd Couple is still going to be one of those remaining teams from the corruption tournament all those years ago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me put a little asterisk by what Jeff has said and what I have said. Jeff is Jeff. So that's Jeff, true. Like Jeff likes stirring the pot. So,
oh, we know.
You know, and that's part of what I like being partners with him, because I always get to be the good cop. And I had said it on Bateman's show the other day that I would love to play with different people someday. Jeff and I aren't going to be partners forever, but by no means was that a slightly underhanded. I think Jeff and I, if you are playing better than we've ever played, I think after that match, the Category 9 match, I'm looking forward to our next match because I think Jeff and I are in a real sync, and it's all because of Roxy. You know, Roxy grabbed us both by the ears and was like, you guys are going to listen to each other and be a team, and we do. And it's weird that Roxy and none of us have seen each other in person, but Roxy and Jeff and I become really close over this. You know, I've had some really nice long conversations, and Jeff is a friend, you know. I would love to, we're going to keep going as long as we feel like we're having fun. The only reason I would want to change a partner is just to shake things up, because, you know, you get complacent. You don't want to, you know, I don't want to be Michael Jordan, not that I was ever that good, but coming back and coming back and coming back. You just, sometimes things end, and it's not badly. It doesn't have to end with drama. Sometimes you just want a change of pace. And I said this on Ben's show, and I'll say it here. No matter what happens with the Odd Couple, I will always be in Jeff Slater's corner as a fan and a fan of this game, because he is rapidly earning the place on the Mount Rushmore of Schmodown. And I'm not just saying that because he's my partner. He's, you know, if by some luck we get to the belts and we get the belt for teams, he'll be the only player to win a team's tournament belt 3 different times.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
So
with 2 different teams.
Whether you like his character, his personality or not, there is no denying he is a masterful player. And I think he's a great poster boy player, because there are things, categories he hates and doesn't know. But he has managed to dance around those, and his level of strategy. And, you know, even pre-Bateman, that's sort of like, I'm gonna be the bully. I'm going to be Eddie Haskell. I'm going to put the frog in the girl's lunchbox character. He started that, and he's had an immeasurable impact on the game, both as a player and as a person who's helped shape what we do. And I got to say, having Schmodown through lockdown has been a lifesaver. It has been so much fun, and the community's so great. And it's, you know, I don't mean to sound Pollyannish. There are things I don't like, and Christian probably Christian knows all. You know, when he sees me on his phone, he's like, "Oh, God damn it, Andreyko." but that's what a family is. A family, you're allowed to argue and bicker and all that, but it all comes from a place of love and respect and enjoyment of being in everyone's company. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of love and respect, at one point, Josh McCouga and Elliot Dewberry were like this. Mm-hmm. It was like you and Jeff, right? They mm-hmm. and everyone loved the Wild Bears. When they came out, they were drinking, they were getting answers wrong, but it was all in good fun. And then at the Schmodown draft, it all changed when Shannon Barney drafted Elliot Dewberry. Then we had McCouga go to swag with Winston Marshall over there. And now the mega powers, as it will, the Wild Bears, will collide this Friday live. What is your prediction of this? Because the loser has to retire, and I think the league will suffer without either one of these guys.
Well, retirement is in quotation marks always in any entertainment aspect. Makuga's going to be a dad soon. Yeah. So either that's going to free up the circuits in his brain, or he's going to be completely focused. My prediction for that match is it's going to be super fun to watch. And ultimately, after the last couple of weeks we've had on this planet, I'm looking forward to laughing uproariously.
Anything fun.
And being shocked by the weird out of nowhere pulls each of them has for questions where they're like, I don't have any idea what that is. And they'll be like, it was Birth of a Nation, 1919. I'll be like, how did you know that? You know, the whole Rain Man of them both is fantastic. So I love both those guys. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Going into next season, we're kind of getting a clearer and clearer vision of where this teams not only rank, but perhaps which players are going to be on said teams next year. You've talked about how much you like Roxy Stryer as a manager. I think
I don't like Roxy as a manager. I love Roxy as a manager. And I think in his mode, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I really got to say this. I think in the history of Schmodown, Roxy is going to be looked at as one of the most important managers we've had, because I don't say it lightly. Every bit of success Jeff and I have had as a team and the longevity is because of Roxy's support and involvement and active managerial status.
You know, I agree with you, and I think that sometimes she doesn't get enough credit for what she brings not only to the league as a personality, but as a manager. I've had conversations with Roxy where she's telling me stuff that she's, you know, doing strategies, thinking about trades, drafts, all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And she really is so dedicated to this game, and you both, she has managed. There's probably not a better team, like with two people that have been managed this year than the Odd Couple by Roxy Stryer, even going back to January at the draft when she made the conscious effort of drafting you both at the same time so we didn't have a Roka Ben Bateman's type situation occurring, right?
When that happened, I was like, I leaned over to who I was with. I'm like, can we just pull it out and measure? Like, come on, guys.
Oh, my God.
And there's nothing dirty said there.
There's nothing dirty to said there. But my question was going to be for you, Mark Andreyko. If you're in Roxy's shoes and you have to pick 3 people to remain on the roster for next season from the Rockstars, who are you picking?
Well, I think I would say me and Jeff.
Ryan?
And I would say probably, gosh, it's hard. It's really hard. Alex is great, you know, for the Star Wars division. I think Stacey Howard is a great poison pill player. She continues to amaze me. And it's what's fascinating with Stacey is she's so nonplussed, and her still to this day, I think she's the only player, maybe with the exception of Ethan Irwin, who plays the game for pure joy and fun and is just as happy if she wins as if she loses. She's here to have fun. And every time I see her play, I feel like it's going to see Santa Claus the first time as a little kid, because she's managed to keep that sense of wonder and giving it respect, but having fun first and foremost. And she's damn good. And she's so unpredictable what she can pull out. Players like that scare me more than players who are like super, super, super consistent. Because you never know what she doesn't know she knows. And that's a dangerous combination.
It's so funny though, Andrejko, because I vividly remember before lockdown when we were watching that Stacey Zipper match and she made that Beowulf pull. You literally almost fell on the floor because
I was sending it to her psychically.
I know. You were like, go. And I was like, Mark, it can't go through your forehead, but you were physically trying to send it to her. And it was so funny when she got that pull, you just like fell to the ground and we're like, oh my God. Yeah.
And she does that once or twice a match.
Yeah.
It's not acting. That's her being sincere. She's just pulling that stuff. This isn't Ben counting going, oh, I don't know. Repeat the question.
No.
It's and waiting to the last minute. She's just like, Anthony Hopkins? And you're like, yes. It's amazing. And she's a lovely person as well.
You can see her organizing all the movies she's ever watched in her life and seeing which ones add up and be like, no, not that one.
It's a very minority report.
Minority report, yes.
You know, though, I got a quick, and we're not going to keep you too much longer, Mark, but I have a bone to pick with you from something you said in the chat. You said that Robert Zemeckis hasn't made a great movie since the year 2000.
I stand by that.
Wait.
Let me say this: the one of his CG phase. I will die on the hill that his Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey is one of the top three adaptations of that novel ever.
Really?
And I'm not a Jim Carrey fan. I when I heard he was playing all the ghosts, I was like, oh my God! If you want to do that, do it in your bathroom. Don't let me watch. And it's a spectacular movie. But I don't know. The Witches is a mess.
It's not great.
Welcome to Marwen. Hey, let's make this uplifting story about a creepy guy with a foot fetish.
It's so funny, Mark, because I feel like you and I break down movies very similarly, because we saw A Quiet Place together, which is crazy because I don't really watch like horror movies or scary movies like that. And when we walked out, we were both just like, why aren't they living by the waterfall? Like we find those like giant loopholes that are sitting there and they're blatantly in front of your face the entire movie. And you're like, I can't believe this.
I will say this, the brief aside about A Quiet Place, watching it was spectacular fun.
Yes.
Because it was the first time since the advent of the cell phone that no one was texting in a movie. It was amazing. Oh. That being said, it's a masterfully directed movie, but the movie makes zero sense. My biggest thing was, and then I'll stop talking about this because I don't want you to open this can that you already did, but the fact that they got pregnant after the aliens means they're idiots. Just change the Chiron to 80 days later. She was pregnant before it happened. If they're having kids that they have to carry around in a padded box with an oxygen tank, and they decided to do that after the sound aliens, no. Where did they get all that sandbox sand? Where did all that sand come from? Anyway.
Where does the sand come from? You know, there's a few rules in life. You never bring sand to the beach, and you always are going to enjoy Mark Andrejko whenever he's on our show. Mark Andrejko, the Android. Good luck going further in the tournament. We're excited We're excited to see where you go. Anything you want to plug before you get out of here?
No, not really. Just, you know, we're going to have a new administration, so I hope everyone feels empowered, whether your side won or lost. I think this year proved that everybody's voice is important. Wear your mask, stay safe so we can get back to live events soon and go to movies and go to concerts and hug each other.
Yes.
Hopefully remember this year, because this will shape us and make us all better people. So thank you guys. And by the way, Brad, Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all time. So I love Zemeckis. I just wish we could get him back again.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell. We have
love
more coming up next after this. Thank you, Mark.
Missed you so much, Mark. Really, I really hope we can see each other again soon.
Absolutely.
Love you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
You stick your arm in that bush, you're going to get degloved. It's just going to be skin and blood.
It's just, it's berries that are wild. They will attack any body part put inside of a bush, especially during a team tournament called Anarchy. The only thing that is anarchist about this whole thing is the wild berries.
Yeah, so I told him, you want ratings? You want merch sales?
You want t-shirts all over the...
You might want to... Hey, boys. Hey, Ricky. It's been a little...
I know, we didn't leave on the greatest of terms, I had to find my wings.
I'm perfectly happy where I am right now. Thank you.
You know
what?
I'm perfectly happy with where you're at now too.
Oh, thanks, man.
I've been watching you guys from the sidelines. I left Bibiani. You know, he wasn't doing so great.
Oh, it didn't work out.
Turns out he's doing okay now, but my opinions have changed about you too. I like the way you guys work together, and I got one thing to say.
What's up? Wildberry!
Yes! He got a man! And you can boss me around. Tell me to do whatever you want.
How about you start by getting that beer bong? We got a fucking match to fight.
Beer bong incoming, boys.
I'm telling you, that is the last time. The match is set. I want you to show up on time like we agreed to. You're not getting a new competitor. Hold on one second. What the fuck is this? I'm gonna kill the next person that comes in. Who is it? Hi, Mr. McWeeny. How are you? How may I be of some help?
Not happy, Commissioner.
Why?
Well, I think you know why. I had a match that I specifically requested. I wanted either Roka or JT, whoever won that match. Now, I haven't fought Roka yet, and I wanted that. And you know why I want JT. So you take the winner of that, and you give them the only other person I would want, Snyder. I want something. I want red meat. I want a good fight. Make it happen, all right? You're the commissioner.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Yeah, just sure.
All right.
Do it.
You want the happy me, yes?
Yes, I like the happy you a lot.
So does everybody.
Yeah.
Let's make me happy.
Yeah. Sure thing, Mr. McWeeny. Holy shit. Okay. Here goes nothing.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. McWeeny. Yes, it's Thad.
Good to hear from you. Yeah.
I was looking at the schedule here, and I wanted to give you an update on your pending matches.
Okay, so good news, right?
Okay, so here's the deal. You are going to play the winner of Lon and Ethan, and then after that match, you will get Roka or Snyder.
Okay, so I play the winner of Ethan or Lon, okay, and then I either get Snyder or Roka, definitely, one of the two, correct?
This is a guarantee from me. You will play that victor.
Okay, because that, here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put that down in writing. In my personal schedule. So, I look forward to Snyder or Roka on the other side of Ethan or Lon.
Okay. Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Oh, thank you.
Can you hear it? Can you hear the smile? Can you hear how excited I am? I'm happy. It's good news. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'm glad. Very glad to hear it. I will see you in a very short time. Good to see you. I will talk to you later. God damn, he scares me.
Welcome back to Coming Up Next. My name is The Boat, Brad Gilmore, joined by the illustrious Miss Jennifer Sturger, The Sturge. She's going to have to leave us here momentarily, so this is how we're going to end this show. As you can see, our graphic is up. We're ready to do our quick picks for the week. We do have three matches that we need to predict, and I think that This might be the most in line some of us are maybe ever, but we'll get to that. And then also, I'm doing it, guys. There's Da Bomb Beyond Insanity. Ugh, here's this awful chip again. I don't know why.
Imagine it tasting good. That's the thing.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, I'm going to do this in just a second. I have my gloves ready. But let's do quick picks. We remind you, if you want to make your pick for these matches coming up here on the Movie Trivia Schmodown, make sure you sit over a Schmobot, streamlabs.com/the Schmodown. I know this is an abbreviated show this week, so thank you for anything that you've been able to do and contribute. And next week, I'm sure it's going to be interesting as well. Jen.
Oh, boy.
Let's get to our quick picks, though. First match we have up. PLD, what's the first match we got up?
Tom and Paul versus Final Exam.
Tom and Paul versus Final Exam. Final Exam, I think, has been really, really good, Jen. But Tom and Paul, that's a team that has a lot of promise. What do you think?
I still got to go with Final Exam on this one. I just feel like they are clicking on a different level. Tom and Paul have struggled in terms of just finding their chemistry, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like that they're both so individually good at trivia, but it's just finding that rhythm of playing with a partner that I feel like has struggled. And I really don't know that someone's been able to reel Tom in the way Video Drew originally did. So it's just, I still feel like they've got a little bit of work to do on the chemistry front. And so that's why I think Final Exam will take this one.
You know, I'm going with you, too. I really love this team of Final Exam. I'm still rooting for that potential Paul Oyama and Ben Bateman team next year. I'm hearing Ben Bateman is trying to get a team with Adam Collins. We'll see how that goes. But I'm going to go definitely.
God, that would be so insufferable.
It would be pretty annoying. I'm going to go Final Exam as well. And, oh, look at that. Beautiful. And what about Paul DeNuzio?
I'm going to go against the grain here. I think Tom and Paul, they were touted as this team of teams before the year began. They did struggle throughout. I think they're due to finally click. I don't know what it is. I know Paul Preston's been like a little bit angry about how his season's gone so far. I think this is the time where they're going to put their knowledge together and they're going to surprise and defeat Final Exam. That's my call.
All right. Up next, sorry, I'm just getting this prepared. Up next, what's the next match, Mr. DeNuzio?
Sane.
Next match would be Jen Kemp versus Video Drew, who is in the chat, so be careful.
Well, I am a big Drew fan. Everybody knows that.
I think we all are. We all are big Video Drew marks. The thing is, I just don't know enough about Jen to really go against what I know about Video Drew. And I feel like this was the match that was kind of a toss-up for me. But that also tells me that if Christian is confident enough to put it on an undercard for a throwdown, that he expects these two ladies to go at it. So I still am going to lean towards Video Drew on this one, but it's anyone's ballgame.
We've only seen Jen Kemp in Inner Geekdom. She was very good in the other leagues, but I've been a big Video Drew fan since day one. I'm going to continue to be a big Video Drew fan. And that's why I'm going to go Video Drew as well. The boat's pick is Video Drew in Final Exam. And Mr. Paul DeNuzio, what do you got?
I'm actually sticking with you guys this time, Video Drew. Again, I think this is going to be a close match. Jen does have a great, solid knowledge base. I do think Video Drew has a little more experience at this point, and she's longer, I think, than Jen is at this point, maybe. So I'm going to lean towards Video Drew, and not just because she's in the chat. That's what I called beforehand. So.
He's like, everyone be nice.
All right, and this last one was very difficult. It was very difficult for me. It was difficult for a lot to make a choice between two people that we both love so much. But the Wild Berries will collide. One man will retire. The other man will continue his career. It is Elliot the Dude Dewberry going up against the Wild Man, Josh McCuga. What do you got?
Oh, sadly, I don't want to watch this match. The number one prediction I have is I may cry. That is the number one prediction I have because I don't want to see this match. I don't think anyone's clamoring for this match. I think we're all just ready for the Wildberries to get back together. Like, come on. This is so not fair what Shannon Barty's done to us this season. But I think I'm going to have to lean towards Dewberry. I really do. I just feel like McCuga has a lot of other things on his plate right now, and that's got to be distracting in terms of preparation, if he was ever going to prep. I don't know. I just don't know that his heart's in it. This is a different league than when Josh joined it. When Josh first joined the Schmodown, it was like a bunch of friends answering trivia questions, like, you know, in a makeshift studio. And now it's become this fully fledged league. And it's like, I just don't see Josh being as excited about the game now that there is so much competition and there's a lot riding on his wins. You know, I think he enjoyed being able to pull answers out of his butt. You know, that's the kind of play that Josh Macouga thrives on. And so that's why I have to go Dewberry, unfortunately.
Okay. And you know what? They named it the double Dewberry for a reason. I'm going to go Elliot Dewberry as well. I just think that I listened to him on backstage. I feel like his mind is in the right spot. Josh Macouga, as we said before, he's got things coming on. He's got a baby on the way. He just got married. The man's been busy over there on the History Channel. He's been doing a lot of things. I don't know if his movie trivia knowledge is going to be up to snuff when it comes to terms of the MTS. So I do believe he is going to take the L, retire, and Elliot Dewberry will continue. Mr. DiNuzio.
It being so agreeable, first of all, I do know that the prediction I have is I will cry. Not no maybe about it, Jen. I'm going to cry. But I think at the end of the day, your eyes are right. Dewberry is a little more locked in. I think Macouga has that lucky streak that he could pull off something like some kind of miracle, but I'm not going to bank on it. If I have to put my money on it, I'm going to put it on Dewberry.
Yeah, you know, there you go. So we all agree on Dewberry. We're bad, in alliance.
I'm sorry. I gotta make a correction to the graphic here. I accidentally put Brad is gonna have Josh Macouga winning on the graphic, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying Elliot Dewberry.
Oh,
I am, but it's fine. If Macouga wins, then I can kind of both be right and continue on my dominance. So I appreciate you, R to the B to the three. Speaking of, this is gonna be our last show with RB3. We're gonna miss him very much. He's been an incredible addition to this short run of this show, and without him, it would have been possible. RB3, really appreciate you, my man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brad. I love this show. I love this. I love being a part of this, and this is one of the most fun experiences of a lifetime. So thank you.
Yes. Awesome. 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 Well, Jen, we're about to have to wrap up. And so this is what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to do this to myself for some unknown reason.
You're a really good friend.
I am. So while I do this, I'm going to try to wrap everything up and summarize everything that happened on this show today. So I have waters ready here.
Have at it, buddy.
I'm told that water makes it worse, but I'm going to do that. So
you should have gotten milk.
I'm going to try to. That's what people keep telling me. But you know what? The suffering, you know, there's art in suffering, right? Suffering, art is suffering, right? Okay. So here we go. I'm going to do this and then wrap up everything that we've talked about here on the show. Y'all ready for this?
Feel free to send in your schmobots while this is happening.
Okay. If I do this, seriously, guys, come on now. Frank and I suffered through this the last time. Here we go. In. Three.
Two. One. I don't feel like it's probably not instant heat, right?
Well, I've got a hot sauce making. Oh, my God.
Oh. Is it instant heat, Brad, or does it like come on slowly? Because I feel like it's more dangerous when it comes on slowly.
Oh my God, the bomb sauce is ridiculous. Okay, this week on the show, Jen had something wrong with her face, so we couldn't do everything that we were supposed to do. Oh my God, Jen had something wrong with her face. We talked about actors and directors from the wheel size. She said Dwayne Johnson. She didn't know that had already happened at the Perry Nemiroff. You know that happened in the Perry.
Had a rough week, guys. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I said that Robert Zemeckis and Mark Andreyko said that he hasn't made a good movie since the year 2000. We then talked to Mark. No, I can't do it. We then talked to Mark Andreyko. He said that I can't. He said that. Oh my gosh.
Are you alive?
Oh my
God. This is worse than when Josh Macouga and Mark Ellis drunk the hot sauce back in the Collider days.
What is in this? Oh my gosh.
Ghost
we
peppers.
Started with a hot habanero peppers and blended them with smoky chipotle peppers and natural pepper extract to create a sauce that was lab tested. It's 135,000 times. It is 135,000 times hotter than a jalapeno. Holy hell.
What is wrong with you? Why would you do that to yourself? I feel like you're doing okay. I feel like you actually secretly like this.
No.
You just touched your face, you idiots.
Oh my God.
Have you learned?
Oh my God. I gotta go. Oh my God. Okay.
Guys, this has been Jen Serger and Brad Gilmore for coming up next. We will see. see you guys next week, hopefully. Holy crap, that just happened. Stay safe, guys. We love you. No.